As momentum builds amongst community members in Papua New Guinea for real action against to deal with the country's high rates of domestic violence, the government minister responsible has pledged he will make the issue a priority. It comes after the death last week of 19-year-old mother of two in Port Moresby, Jenilyn Kennedy. Her partner, Biosip Kawai, who has been charged with willful murder, appeared in court yesterday where the judge ordered he be transferred to the local prison until his next court appearance at the end of this month. For more, we're joined by Catherine Grau. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Catherine, PNG is believed to have some of the world's highest rates of domestic violence. So why have these cases spurred this response that we're seeing?
Well, Marla, this incident has really shaken the community. Of course, as you say, we know that domestic violence incidents do happen, unfortunately, very frequently in Papua New Guinea and often in remote areas where they're not often able to gain the traction and the attention of the community the ways that this one has. This one with Jenilyn Kennedy, obviously, was absolutely horrific. Her death last week was reported first on social media and then local media picked it up. It's also been triggered, I guess, the response that we are starting to see because she was a part of and connected to a well-known family. It's also been in the capital, Port Moresby, where, of course, there is just a larger population and more people tuned in to social media and local media. But it's also because it came after the case of Debbie Kaore. She's a boxer and a rugby union player, and her story recently made the news as well, where she was filmed being beaten with a clothes iron by her partner. Now, the aunt of Jenilyn Kennedy, who did die last week, her aunt is Elizabeth Bradshaw. She's made it pretty clear what her view is on why it's time for there to be change in PNG.
This thing is killing at fast rate. It's destroying our families. It's even worse than the COVID-19. I mean, with due respect to protocols and processes and policies put forward for COVID-19, but this violence against women, it's sickening, and it's growing into the blood cells of young men of this nation, and to me, I feel saddened. For me, I see that this death of Jenilyn Kennedy is a litmus test, not only for the police, but the nation.
So she really appears to be setting a challenge to the people of PNG to act. Now, there's been another interesting development in the past day, Marla. Biosip Kawai's family actually took rather unprecedented steps yesterday. They took out and paid for a full-page advertisement in the local newspaper. In it, they passed on their condolences to the family of Jenilyn Kennedy, but they also apologised to the entire nation and women of PNG, and they declared that his family, want to see Biosip brought to justice. As you mentioned, he has been charged with willful murder, remains now in prison before his next court appearance. Now, the family statement actually finished with this line that domestic violence is not only inexcusable, but it is a crime and we need to stand together as a nation to stop it. So that's really, I guess, the sense of where a lot of people are at the moment on this issue.
So, Catherine, what is the evidence that this case is proving momentum for that change?
Well, look, some of the comments, as we've just heard, but also there are new groups that are being formed and set up. For example, there's a group called the PNG Man Up. They are organising a public vigil for tomorrow night in the capital, Port Moresby, but right across the country. They claim it's the first time that there has been such an organisation where men have come together. And they also say that this is not just going to be a one-off event, but they promise that there'll be more to follow, really putting on pressure for action to happen. There's also been other developments, such as a new petition that's been launched. It so far has just over 5,000 signatures in it. It states that PNG has a bad history of letting people walk free after murdering their significant other, and they say that that needs to come to an end now. So they plan to hand their petition to the government, asking it to toughen the laws. It is interesting, though, to note that the family of Jenilyn have said that they don't actually want another petition. Here's the aunt, Elizabeth Bradshaw.
These issues has taken place over and over all these years. The last government, I think there was a lot of petition that were given. Our time now as a nation, we should call for action. It is no longer about petitions. It is no longer about very massive march. But we need call for action. something has to be done. There are Family Protection Act. There are Criminal Code Act. But what is missing in this country? There are no enforcement of law.
Mm. So as she says there, Marla, there are actually laws in place already in PNG, so they don't need to create new legislation, but certainly the enforcement of them is what is coming under scrutiny at the moment. And also even initiatives like a special police teams that have been set up through one of those recent acts that passed Parliament in the last 5 years or so. It's the Family and Sexual Violence Unit. There are only about 11 of them in PNG at the moment, but they're special police teams and they're meant to be safe places for women to go to. They are actually largely funded, or the initiative has been largely funded by the Australian government. Marsha Cullino works in the area of domestic violence. She's a coordinator of the Family and Sexual Violence Action Committee for a group called the CMIC. Here's what she's had to say about these units.
There is a lot of success stories from the Family and Sexual Violence and units. I've met a lot of them, very good officers who really take on that role and are very responsive when we call on them. And there are limitations to the work that they're doing.
So she mentions there the limitations, and in fact a report that evaluated these units a few years ago painted a pretty grim picture of the situation. They said that these units were underfunded, they were understaffed, some of the officers undertrained, and there were really low rates in arrests of generally men. And we have actually seen these units come under the scrutiny again in this case of Jenlyn Kennedy. It was revealed by the PNG Police Commissioner David Canning that she had, that she'd sought the help of a unit back in May, and she then tried to have her case withdrawn, which experts say is quite a common thing in PNG. Women get scared and pressured by their family. So he's actually ordered an investigation into how this particular unit handled her case, and obviously units in general, family sexual violence units, will be investigated to see if the systems that are in place are actually adequate to protect women.
So what has the government had to say?
Well, there hasn't been a lot from the government. We've certainly had the Prime Minister condemning the recent incidents and tragedies. And now, finally, yesterday, we had the minister who is responsible for family and women, Wake Goy, fronted the media. We can hear what he's had to say.
I will do my part for the government to give gender-based violence or violence against women as a priority and serious funding consideration. The law that we need to give to really incorporate or act or whatever law people know better way to say it, we must make sure that no one gets hope when found guilty.
So again, he's really reinforced that message that there's concern that laws that exist aren't necessarily being enforced. So he has promised to address that, and also promised more to look at funding, obviously. As I mentioned, though, they are funded by the Australian government, or largely funded. And for people like Marsha Cullino, the coordinator of that Family and Sexual Violence Action Committee, she's been here so many times before when there have been other high-profile incidences and same sort of conversations come forward and talk about the need for more commitment and for more finance as well. She says that PNG is not really equipped financially to look after these units, and that's why they're forced to go to donors like Australia. Here she is.
We see that we end up begging for funding. We end up begging for help. We end up begging for assistance to look into this issue. And you can see now that it's happening again when we see this death, that everybody is now calling again. What are we doing about this? This is a problem happening in our own country.
So that's Marsha Cullino there. And I should just add that she is at least pleased that the conversations are being reignited at the moment, because it isn't just funding that's required, but awareness needs to change as well. So certainly, while it might be a case of deja vu for her that she's been here many times before, she is optimistic that things will change.
Thank you very much for that, Catherine.
My pleasure.
Catherine Grau, our reporter there. And if you are in PNG and need help or know someone who does, there is also a phone number that you can call. It's the One Talk Cancel In Help Him line. The number is 71508000. That's 71508000.